Bye. Praise the Lord.
Amen. He's a miracle-working God. Father, we are thankful for all of your blessings. We're thankful for your word to us. How, Lord, daily you are molding us and helping us to become more and more like you. Father, we rest in your loving kindness tonight, this day. We ask, O God, that you, the God who's declared to us, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. I am your God and I'm with you. I will help you, I will strengthen you, and I'll uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. Lord, O God, that we will live in that experience. For our world is filled with much dismay and fear. People are running to and fro because of all of the confusions. Nobody seems to have any idea what is happening. Things seem to be out of control. But our confidence is in you. And we rest to God in the fortress, even in your name. And we embrace the truth that you reveal to us, that we may be a people chosen by you, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood unto you. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for healings. Thank you for peace which passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you are our keeper. We give you praise, Father, for causing us to escape all harm. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we have much to give God thanks for. You may be seated. Too many times we take life for granted. We just live every day and think, well, that's how it is. But the reality is, as I'm speaking this very moment, somebody somewhere just got into an accident. They weren't planning on it. Somebody just had a heart attack and died. They weren't planning on it. Somebody just suffered a stroke. They weren't planning on it. They weren't expecting it. I was just talking to him just a moment ago. What do you mean? Life sometimes doesn't make sense. And therefore, because we do not know what the next moment is going to bring, we've got to take charge of this now that we are in. It is not the wisest thing to procrastinate about, I'll get better tomorrow. I will change tomorrow. I will stop this habit tomorrow. I will stop cursing tomorrow. Well, I will start this tomorrow. There's no better time to start than now. Really, there's no better time to start. What makes now a bad time to start? I was thinking about an instruction the Lord gave to me about what he wanted of me. during the days of silence. This is what I want from you. Okay? I will start at some point. And then this morning he says to me, we're starting now. I said, we're starting what now? I can't now. Then dawn on me, tomorrow I will can't. And next week I will be in the I can't. So, just do what is asking of you now. Start now. If you're going to fulfill the mandate, start now. I don't know what God has been talking to you about in your own personal life, what has been challenging you about, that you may be pushing further down the line. You know, I will start this at the end of February, or I'll start it in April, I will start it in May. And God says to you, why do you have to start it then? What stops you from starting it now? When an opportunity presents itself for you to do something, seize a hold of it. Every one of us wants to push things down the line. It's the act of our procrastinating. But procrastinators never get anything done. Let me say that again. Procrastinators never get anything done because they're always pushing it down the line. Tomorrow this, tomorrow that, tomorrow this, tomorrow that. You are not assured of tomorrow. You're not even assured of the next hour. What you are assured of is this very moment that you're still breathing. Do the right thing now. Amen? Do the right thing now. Don't push it down the line. As if down the line, you know, is going to magically create the perfect situation. Sometimes you have to create your situation by the decisions you make on a daily basis. I make a decision that this is how I'm going to carry my life. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to live life like this. Because if you don't, you lose it. And that's the situation that the Lord Jesus Christ finds himself in. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 1, he says, and seeing the multitudes, he saw the multitudes. He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Watch this statement. And seeing the multitudes, he saw the multitudes. Wow, a lot of people gathered here. I need to do something. He goes up the mountain. Positions himself. And his disciples came to him. What is happening here? What exactly is happening here? He sees the multitudes. He didn't start talking to them right away, but he positions himself to be able to address them. So he puts everything that he needs to put in order to address the situation that he had at hand. Now, in just a moment ago, I was telling you, why wait till tomorrow? If you need to do something, get it done now. But sometimes getting things done right now means putting certain things in order so that you can accomplish what you want to accomplish. Because I just heard a prophetic word of God's blessings being spoken into my life. God says, I'm going to do this, do that, and accomplish so and so. Does not mean that I run into it right away. What it means is I consider, just like the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, if you want to build a house, consider first whether you have the resources to build it, and then go at it. It doesn't say consider if you have the resources to build it, and then if you don't, quit. It says just consider if you have the resources. Now, if you don't have the resources, how do you get the resources so that you can build that thing that God has placed in your spirit, in your heart? Many times we quit. But what does Jesus, our Lord, do? He goes up a mountain, and then he says, and when he was set, when he was ready, his disciples came unto him. The place where he sat was not the place that the disciples made for him. It was a place that he made for himself to sit. In this year of restructuring and restoration, we cannot expect the multitudes without being ready for them. I was having a leadership meeting with some of our leaders, and I said, the next month when we come back, I want you to consider this thought. If we had so many people in this church, what do we need to do to be able to address that kind of a number? What do we need to do? What do we need to change? What things need to be tweaked? You see this stage here? It's very solid. It can handle me. It can handle quite a few people. However, if I brought onto this stage something that weighs 1,000 tons weight, this stage will not be able to handle it. It will just break right through it. Even though it structurally can handle a lot of weight, it cannot handle that amount of weight. So I need to structure it in such a way that it can handle that kind of weight comfortably. Do you understand? Are you with me? So Jesus had to set himself. I've got lots of people here. I need to get myself ready for them. He goes up the mountain. Why does he go up the mountain? Because if there is a multitude and he's talking to them face to face here, then not very few people are going to hear him. But if he goes up higher, his voice is going to carry better. So he looks at his environment, determines what he needs to do, goes up there, sets himself up, and then the Bible says his disciples came. His disciples. Now, those disciples, yes, could be the multitude, but the disciples we're talking about here is his leadership team. They came to him when he was ready. When he was ready. I need to be ready for the masses so that the team that will help me reach the masses can come to me. Are you with me? In everything, we've got to think based on how God sees things. I cannot try to serve 1,000 people anything, 1,000 people, anything, doing it by myself in 5 minutes. in 10 minutes, in 20 minutes, in 30 minutes, 1,000 people, just giving them each one a cup of water, I will not be able to do it. I will need a team. I will need cups. Are you with me? I will need whatever it is that is needed to serve that amount of people. I'll need a team to work with me to accomplish it. Everything is accomplishable, but it's only accomplishable when there is a team that works together. The same is true for a church, for a business. So you have a dream, so you have a vision, so you have a goal that you want to accomplish. What are your steps? What do you have to accomplish that? Have you thought about it? Jesus obviously thought about it. He saw the environment. He saw what he needed to accomplish. He positioned himself. His disciples came. And then the Bible says he opened his mouth. Not until. Not until he was set. Not until his disciples were positioned. When they were positioned, when he was set, he now speaks to the multitude. And this is what he taught them. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Happy, living a blissful, fulfilled life are the poor in spirit. Now, the poverty that he's talking about here is a poverty that is hopeless. I have nothing. He says, those that come and they understand that they have nothing. It says they are blessed because this person is not an arrogant fool thinking that he's got something. He understands that he has nothing to offer. I am broken. I'm a total mess up. I need help. And he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This person is going to experience the kingdom of heaven. Why? He understands that he has nothing if God doesn't help him. Amen? So he's speaking to the multitude. Multitude, you're here? Let me tell you what. If you're going to experience anything of the kingdom of God, because I know you want something, you've got to come to me right now understanding that you are hopelessly broke. Understand that. Then I can help you. But if you think that you've got something, well, I can't help you much. The kingdom of heaven comes to those people who understand, if God doesn't help me, my goose is cooked. If God doesn't help me build this business, this business is going to collapse. If God doesn't help me build his church, no matter how smart I am, it's going to collapse. It's not going to be able to solve the issues of life. If God does not help me in my relationship, God doesn't help me in my marriage, God doesn't help me in my business, God doesn't help me with my education, my goose is cooked. God, I need your help. That's been Paul in spirit. The problem, though, is that many times we'll think, I have some good noodles up here. I can outthink anybody and I can outdo anybody. I'm the smartest one around. They say if you think you're the smartest one around in the room, we're in the wrong group. Every one of us must come before God humbly. Without you, I can do nothing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is set for those kind of people who recognize, I need God in my life. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God, I need your comfort, God says. Comfort comes to those who have lost something. If you've not lost anything, what does comfort mean to you? It means very little. Comfort comes to those that are mourning. And what is the Lord saying? He's saying, do you recognize that you have lost something? Maybe you've lost your relationship with God. Maybe you've lost a relationship with somebody important in your life, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, a friend. I was sharing with you this morning about a dear neighbor lost his wife just like that. He wasn't sick. It's perfectly okay. Oh, feeling some pain. Not feeling good. Okay, let's take you to the hospital. And while they're going to the hospital, she dies. How do you handle that? The pain that people go through. He says, if you're going through pain, you've lost something dear to your heart, there's comfort available. What do I do when I lose something? Come to God and ask Him to comfort me. It's not just when somebody dies. Sometimes it's a relationship that dies. Sometimes it's a dream that dies. And God says, just come to me. I've got big arms to wrap around you. I'll be your comforter. I'll be your comforter. God will go every mile with you. He may not deliver you from the pain of the morning, but he'll be there to comfort you and see you through that difficult moment in your life. Because difficult times do come. You cannot get away from it. Hard times do face people. You cannot get away from it. Because you're a believer does not mean that you are exempt from every issue of life. Yes, there is a place of the promise of God that God exempts us from certain things. But the reality of life is the same storm, the same rain, the same wind blows on the house built on the rock and the one built on sand. The only difference, the word of God tells us, is that the wise man came, heard the words of God and did it, obeyed the words that he heard. The foolish man came, heard the words of God but did not do it. Much pain happens in our lives because we don't obey the word of God. And comfort is not only because I lost something personally. Comfort also is that I would have lost something. And oh, praise God, if it were not for the fact that you were with me, there go I. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. To be comforted by the fact that God delivered you from evil. So he goes on. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek, these are people who are strong but flexible enough to be humble. They have their strength under control. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is being strong. But tempering that strength so that you don't crush the one that you're dealing with. He says, meek people inherit the earth. They inherit the earth, meek people. This, your meekness is going to cause people to run all over you. And God says, no, no, no. If you're meek, you're going to outlast everybody out there. Just trust me. I am God. I created all things. I know all things. And I say to you, son, just be meek. And you're going to inherit the earth. Things are just going to flow into your life because you're meek. You're meek. You are a meek person helping people. Because meek people help. Meek people serve. Meek people are not arrogant. Meek people humble themselves to minister to others. And if you've not gotten it yet, get it. The Lord is stating out the constitution of what the church is going to be like, what a Christian looks like. Christians inherit the earth. Not by pushing people around, but by doing the right thing. They Battle strongholds. Tear down strongholds. But then share the bounty with everybody else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Last Monday it was. There was a service that we had. And well, I said to the saints, certain group of people should not come to it. Why? Because the battle needed to be won by the declarations of covenant relationship with God, and then everybody else now comes and shares the benefits of it. But if you are not in covenant commitment, you expose yourself unnecessarily to the devices of the enemy. But when you are in covenant connection, you recognize that God is giving you an inheritance of the earth. But how much of the earth? If you inherited it all, how much of it can you keep for yourself? You're going to have to share it. If you're so blessed, you're going to have to be a blessing to somebody. Amen? And make people become conduits through which God blesses. And as he sat there, he was telling them, hey, those that recognize they have nothing, they have the kingdom of God. They recognize they have nothing. But then he comes to the other flip end and he says, those that have so much strength and ability but tempered their ability to serve others, they're going to inherit the earth. So you have those who are totally poor, have nothing, inheriting the kingdom of heaven, and those who have so much but ready to serve as people of the kingdom serve, inheriting the earth. And so what is it that God is saying? God is saying, you're going to inherit, take possession of the things of heaven, and you're going to take possession of the things in the earth. It's all yours. It's all mine. He's releasing to us fundamental truth that we call the Beatitudes of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, right living. Right living. Standing before God without blame. This is what they want in their lives. God, I want to be able to be in your presence. Father, I desire to be in your presence. Father God, in the name of Jesus, help me to stand uprightly before you. I receive the gift of righteousness. It is a gift that you've given to me. Help me to know how to use this gift. And God says, you're going to get filled. What? With what? With what you're hungering for. Let me put it another way. Every situation you and I find ourselves in is a setup of opportunities God is giving to us as individuals to tap into greater things of the Spirit. The other day I was driving. I had picked up my son-in-law and my daughter and my grandkids from the airport. And so I was talking to them about their trip and what happened. And we were sitting, my daughter was sitting way back in the back, because we had the car seats for the grandkids. So she's in the back row, and I had something in my car that I could tap into so that when I talk, she can hear in the back. So I engaged that device and I started talking. She says, "What is that? I can hear you loud and clear back here." I said, "I have this device in my car. Did you put it in there?" I said, "No, it came with the car." But guess what? I had never seen it work until somebody was in the back. It was always there. And even if I tried to use it, I wouldn't know that it worked. Are you with me so far? So also, come along. God will allow you to go through certain things so that you can experience His grace in those particular areas. Everything that happens in your life that seems to be bad is not really bad. Because God causes all things to work together for your good. And if you have not experienced that, you will not know. So, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm simply saying, just give God thanks for the life that you live in. But he says, if you're hungering, you hear this crowd? You're hungering and you're thirsty for righteousness. I want you to know that what you came for, you're going to get it. You're going to be filled. Nobody's going to leave you disappointed. You are going to experience the kingdom of heaven, and the poverty in your life is going to be eradicated, erased. The scantiness of lack in your life is going to be erased, and you'll remember it no more, because God is here to minister to you and cause you to experience the kingdom of heaven. You're here and you are mourning because there is a loss in your life. I want you to know you're not going to leave here the same way you came. You are going to get comforted. If you came here and it seems like, oh, when am I going to get there? I want to be righteous. I desire and I thirst for righteousness. He says, you're not going to live here the same way you came. You're going to get filled. You're going to get more than enough of that righteousness. You're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you belong to me, that you are chosen, that you're a peculiar person, my royal priesthood, that you are blessed and highly favored. You're going to know because you came here today. If you're willing to receive it, you are going to have all of that. Praise the Lord. That's exciting to know that God is saying to us, hey, it doesn't matter. Oh, you think that people are running all over you because you're meek? Let me tell you something. Come here. Let me tell you something. You're going to inherit the earth. Huh? You mean they're not going to trample me under and smash me out? No. You're going to inherit the earth. Me? Yes. Why, Lord? Because you're my servant and you're serving. I'm going to give you opportunities to serve more. Wow. You mean my meekness is not weakness? No. You got that backwards. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Have you ever been in a place where you've been merciful to people and it just looks like everybody's taking you for a ride? Anybody like that? Everybody wants something. And you're always there shelling it out. When is somebody going to take care of me? And God says, merciful person, you are going to obtain. That's an interesting word, obtain. You've been seeding mercy? Because you are always giving mercy, you're going to come into the abundance of mercy. Because that's what you want to give to people. Praise the Lord. You're always wanting to shell out mercy to people. You see somebody struggling and they don't deserve a dime, but there you are alongside of them. God says, you're not just going to have a dime, you're going to have lots. You're going to have more than enough mercy because that's what you like giving. So stop complaining about people taking you on a ride. You are going to be the manifestation of mercy. You're going to obtain it because you have the capacity to share it. You have the capacity. That brings me to this thought as I begin to wrap this evening. Many times the things we complain about are blessings in disguise. Hear that. Many times the things we complain about are blessings in disguise. If you look at it another way, you will know. If you've not gone through stuff, many times you cannot relate with people that are going through stuff. Ministers of the gospel who've not gone through stuff cannot relate with the people. My call really is not to pastor a church. My call, when God called me, I started out as an evangelist. And then the Lord said, I want you to pastor. I said, why? He said, so that you know what pastors go through. So that you can take care of other people's churches and not destroy their sheep. Wow. So I've been going through the most difficult experiences that a pastor should go through. So that I am wise enough to minister to a pastor that is going through different situations and speak wisdom to them. Oh my, I am so glad I talked with you. I am so glad I talked with you. Because I wouldn't have known what to do about this situation. Well, going through it, when I was going through it, felt like it was a bad experience. But on the flip side, it was good for me that I went through it. So I understand. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but it's good that you're going through it so that you understand. Once upon a time, I thought I knew everything about marriages. I could counsel you and tell you exactly what you needed to do until I got married, and I found out I'm clueless about marriage. I am totally clueless. God, I am poor in spirit. I need help. Hallelujah. And I'm certain Mama is saying the same thing. Lord, I need help. So now, I can counsel with somebody who's going through any kind of an experience with the wisdom of God. Because I've gone through it in one way or the other. And know how to maneuver myself through the situations that faces me. Make the right decision at the right time. Know what, when to speak and when not to speak. And I'm still learning how to do the married life. But I will not trade any single day. My daughter and I were going somewhere, just sitting on the passenger seat, and for whatever reason, we started talking about how long Mama and I have been married. And I said, it's been the longest and the shortest, because we've been married for 40-something years. And I said, it's been the longest and the shortest. And she says, why? I can understand the longest. Why do you say the shortest? I said, I say the shortest because it's been too short to have known her and living life with her. It's short. And she suddenly says, oh, that's cool. I never thought about how romantic that was. But anyway, that's what I said. It's been long, but it's really short. Today, I want you to consider whatever it is that you're going through. Whatever it is that you're going through, look at it again and consider, am I moving from a position of I can, or am I moving from the position of God, I need help? I need help. I don't know what to do. I need help. I have nothing to boast about here. I just need help. So he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. No man has seen God, Jesus said. But you mean the pure in heart shall see God? Yeah. But how do you become pure in heart? By not allowing bitterness, strife, unbelief, lust, all this stuff, covetousness, thinking about, if only I had that, my life will be better. There's no, if only you had that, your life is going to get better. You trust God out of a pure heart, and he says, you're going to see me. And when you see God, you find goodness in God. You'll find peace in God. You'll find favor in God. You'll find goodness in God. And you're going to be changed into that same image. God says, I want you to have a pure heart. Don't bring any junk and garbage here. God is not very interested in you telling him long stories about, oh, look at what this person did to me. And what he already knows what somebody did to you or didn't do to you. He already knows that. And all he just says to you is, just come to me with a pure heart. No judgment. Just open to me. And I'll show you me. And I'll show you what victory looks like that you can have restoration. You can have a restructuring. You can handle whatever it is that's coming your way. Life can be different if you make the decision to let me be God in your life. And that's the word for tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the word for tonight. You can go on and read some more, because it talks about peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Because you're a peacemaker. Don't be a troublemaker. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I love you guys, and I celebrate you, and I thank God for your lives, and it's good to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. And may God's peace garrison all of our hearts, and may we know divine victory all of our days. I saw the face of the Lord and said, God, you've not told me what to share tonight. What do you want your people to hear? And I tell you what, I was very tired. I said to Mama, I'm going to lay down and sleep. I'm going to set the alarm and wake up in 30 minutes. 30 minutes came, and I put the snooze button. I said, God, I still haven't heard from you yet. I still haven't heard from you yet. I still haven't heard from you yet. He says, just rest, son, just rest. I said, but I have to have a word from you. I'm not going to preach a sermon tonight. Just rest. Okay, it's time for you to get up. The Beatitudes. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk to my people about this. So, I followed his instruction, and I've shared what God has laid on my heart for every one of us. And if you didn't get it, simply said, like one of the fathers in faith used to say, you don't have any trouble. Just have faith in God. I'm saying to you, if you come into God, recognize that there is not a need you've got that cannot be addressed if you just trust him, because he's set himself already to minister that to you. So whatever issues you came with tonight, address it as addressed already. And go home refreshed, renewed, revived, restored. and experience a resurgence in your life to the glory of God. Amen? Praise God. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your favor. Thank you for the directives of grace released unto us. Only you can do what no man can do. And Lord, oh God, no matter what we are experiencing right now, physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, we're confident of this one thing, that you are well able to address every situation that we'll ever face. Nothing shocks you. Nothing that we have surprises you. You have an answer. You are positioned to minister to us. And we receive your ministry. And we thank you, Lord, that you are more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more than enough for our spirits, for our souls, for our bodies. You're more than enough concerning our business, concerning our marriages, concerning our relationships, concerning your church. You are more than enough concerning our children. You are more than enough. No matter what the situation is, you are more than enough. And Lord, we rely on you now to provide all the answers that we need. For we acknowledge, O God, that we have nothing to bring to the table but to trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give to us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, Lord, our trespasses, as we've forgiven those who've trespassed against us. And lead us, Lord, not into any temptations, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our givings. And as we release from our hands that which God has given to us, may God's hand of blessings release great favor unto us. There is no lack in God, and there is no lack in you. Amen? Praise God. I greet those that are on YouTube and Facebook. The information for you to honor God with your giving is on the screen. And we are going to say good night to you. But we'll see you this Wednesday for another time in the presence of the Lord. We're going to be studying the book of Proverbs. And it's going to be an interesting book to study. I don't know when we are going to finish it, but we're going to start it, and it's going to go step by step by step. But I trust that at the end of it all, we'll be wiser than we were when we got started. God bless you. Love you, and good night. Praise God. Well,